Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. Now we're on. Now we're cooking. Are you with me?
Can you hear me?
There you are. All right. Brief technical difficulty there. Hold on. Sorry. I was running around the house like mad trying to get this set up and trying to watch the end of the game and trying to get my daughter set up. So here, my microphone's low. We'll fix that. That's better. Let's start over. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio, the Bosco post-game report. What a game for the Rangers. You're going to have to turn up your speakers if you can't hear me. I got my microphone all the way up. It's as good as it gets, my friends. What a game for the Rangers tonight. A shutout. Doobie smokes the Devils. I love it. These, ladies and gentlemen, these are not your older brothers Rangers. This team stares at the face of adversity and craps on it. They get up off the mat after a horrible game last night, and they come back and shut out the Devils in New Jersey. Eddie, oh, what a night.
I have to say, one of the greatest Ranger games I have ever witnessed. Once again, the Rangers, I don't know how they do it. They play rope-a-dope for like three quarters of the game, and they come through with the wins. I mean, that second period, for most of that second period, the Devils are in the Rangers' zone, and again with the blocking shots, Rangers. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. I mean, I really think it's like a rope-a-dope style, and people just get frustrated, and I'm not underscoring the victory or undervaluing the victory by any chance. I mean, Brandon Dubinsky is playing like a man possessed. He looks so confident out there, and it's a great victory, especially at the Pebble, where we've got to beat them. And I think we can take this Johan Hedberg jinx that he had and throw it all out the window now that he's on the Devil Dogs.
Yeah, that, we could throw that out. Throw it right out. This team, yeah, I love it. They came off the mat, Eddie. Off the mat. The fans were leaving them for dead again last night. Leaving them for dead. Again. They lose one game to the Flyers. Oh, it's all, we suck. Again, I was seeing it all last night. We can't do that. Well, they got up off the mat. And we have,
well,
you know what?
They basically played the Low Devils tonight, though, Jimmy.
I don't care who they're playing. We can't apologize for them. It's not, hey, we got to play the hand we're dealt, right?
Yeah, but.
Well, I'm not apologizing for shutting them out. I don't give a crap. Who cares if we beat the Albany Devils? Tough.
Well, I don't want to say, are you saying they're getting off the mat? It's like they went down in class. It's like, you know, they went against the division of the winner last night, the Flyers. It's just like you're fighting Muhammad Ali, and now they're fighting Jerry Cooney tonight.
But you know what? Without they had the back-to-back nights without Ryan Callahan. I don't care. I'm not apologizing for nothing. They played a stinker last night. They had every. How many Ranger teams in the past would you have seen lay an egg another egg tonight? How many? Come on, you know it as well as I do. Could you have seen them losing tonight to the Albany Devils, 5-1?
Yeah, you got a point there. You got a point, but I don't want to get
too crazy. It's a brand new day.
I love it. Drinking
the Kool-Aid. No, I'm just, look.
No, you're
proud of people. I keep telling people, don't be excited. It's okay. Don't get excited, but be encouraged. This team last year, maybe the year before, under Tom Rennie, this team, you could have seen them going out and losing tonight 8-1 and pick an Albany Devil, any Albany Devil. The guy gets his first NHL hat trick, and Johan Hedberg he would have had the flu or something. He comes out of herpes. He just had a herpes treatment and shuts out the Rangers. You know, I mean, come on, be encouraged.
It's a big win. It's a big win. I'll give you that. It's a 4-point win if you want. We can look at it that way. A nice road win. I'm just saying, you know, and granted, the Rangers are banged up, too. So, you know, they're playing with their A team. Good win. Again, I'd like to see the 5-on-5 play. I know they block a lot of shots, but the other team cannot have the puck in your zone. I know I don't want to poop on everybody's parade tonight. the face-off situation has got to get better. But, you know, Henrik was there, and Henrik deserves the shutout. And I will say one thing. The Devils did not have a lot of odd man rushes. There were no 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s predominantly. So that was a good thing. I really thought that I thought Frolov looked actually decent playing on that line with Anisimov and Dubinsky. He had a pretty good night. I was a little disappointed in the not getting any goals on the 5-minute power play. I don't know why. And one of the things that annoyed me about that, if I'm allowed to be annoyed, am I allowed to be annoyed by things still? I mean,
Well, sure. I mean, you know, we gotta. There's, you know, I mean, obviously they're not perfect, but you know, be excited. But you know, tough love is fine. Tough, you know, it's okay. Here it comes.
Well, this is my concern, dude. It's on the 5-minute power play. He goes with Boyle. I think in the second half of that power play, went with Boyle, Avery, and Rust, maybe. And
sounds right. Yeah.
And then the first part of the power play, I guess, was Dubinsky, Anisimov. Why did instead of giving Brian Boyle, Brandon Prust, why didn't he put Stepan out there with Grotchev? They're up 3-0. Let's see if these guys can actually do something with some open space and rather than being in the check room. I didn't see Grotchev at all out there in the last period at all. I was disappointed those guys didn't get a shot. Look like the game is pretty much in hand, but they need 3-0. And they were up 3-0, and they needed to keep that lead, so maybe they didn't want to take a chance, but they got Ungotz anyway.
Well, I did think, Yeah, well, I would agree with you to a certain. I thought after they were up 3-0, they got the power play on Kovalchuk, and I thought they kind of mailed that in. But then they took a penalty, and that's when Dubinsky scored the shorthanded goal. And then they got the five minute major to Kelly Clarkson, and then I thought they kind of mailed that in. Did I hear Chico Resch? Did they only get one shot on goal on that 5-minute power play? Did I hear that right? I had to listen to Emmerich and Chico, the Beavis and Butthead. Oh, okay.
Speaking
I didn't know. Is there so there was no Ranger feed even in New York? It was just the Devil feed.
At least that's what I got. I didn't even get the Capital game. I was pissed off at that too. And then finally they put it on the NHL Network. Speaking of Emmerich, Mike Emmerich uttered a phrase that I thought would never be uttered in hockey announcing history. He was talking about the defenseman on the Devils, Toramina. And this is what's his phrase, and you're going to love this one. He goes, an artistic pass from the man from the suburbs of Detroit.
hockey fans love to gush about Mike Emmerich. I can't stand listening to him. I don't, you know, I can tolerate him a little bit more when it's not the Devils, but nobody talks that way. I've always said that a great drinking game would be to watch a hockey game that Mike Emmerich is calling, and every time he uses the term "they cancel," you take a shot. You'd be plastered by the third period. Nobody talks that way. And Eric Christensen feeds it to the Penguin from Edmonton. Well, nobody did. Just he feeds it to Christensen. I don't need a Shakespearean description of every player on the ice. It's like, shut up. And Chico, Jesus Christ, he's a nightmare.
The devil apologist.
Oh.
He's such a homer. I mean, he can't even call obvious penalties. Fedotenko was tackled. The guy is sitting on top of him. And he's like, oh, Fedotenko does a good job of selling it by holding down the stick. What?
Yeah, well, how about, who is it, Alan Mayer catches Avery with a stick in the face? Oh, might have been accidental. I don't know.
Well, who batted the puck up into Talinder? Freaking batted the puck into the crowd. How did they miss that? It would have been the Rangers scored on the consequent power play, but it would have been 5-on-3.
Right.
And they miss it, and he still questions. Well, he didn't really mean it. What is that?
Well, I guess, Chico, what you're trying to say is the Devils got away with one. Anyway. Beavis and Butthead.
Oh,
Adam from Chicago is asking if I hate Emmerich if he wasn't a Devils announcer. And I just said he's a little more tolerable when he's doing a national game or you know, when he does the Olympics. But when he's on the Devils broadcast with pom-poms Resch sitting next to him, they're just horrible. He's just horrible. And it's just – maybe it annoys – I don't know. Maybe it just annoys me more because, you know, the Devils. But, oh, my God.
Maybe he got
away with them. He got away with one.
I don't know, Doc. He might have got away with one. I don't know. I like the referees to just see him play. Yeah, he says he always wants the other team. He wants the referees to let him play when it's against the Devils. I think they missed one there. When it's the Rangers. Oh, he's such a homer. Now I'm glad now. After that laugh, I got all... Do that laugh again, because that got me hyped up that we beat them 3-0. All right, now I'm on board. 3-0, we beat the Devil's Dogs. We shut them out at home ice.
Like you said, we're banged up, too. We're missing three key players. Oh. Nobody's apologizing when they beat the Rangers. Nobody's, they didn't have Gabrick. You don't hear anybody say that. Well, they didn't have Prosper tonight. It's not the same. It's not
right.
The same. Bullshit. Play the hand you're dealt. And now, Doobie smoked them tonight. I love it.
Oh, man. I got to tell you. I got a lot of crow to eat so far, man. And I got to, you know, they call me the mouth. I got a big mouth. That's a lot of crow I got to eat. This guy's got 10 goals already. He had 21 all last year.
And Boyle. Good Lord.
Boyle. Holy cow. Moreno Boyle's got 5 goals.
Moreno
I don't know.
Boyle.
He's taking the hits. And, who's that other Boyle there? The one that sings the opera there. But he's involved, you know. He's doing it all. But one thing, a couple of those questions. How much stock is Eric Christensen's stock? Actually, how much has Christensen's stock gone down? He's not even on the first or second power play unit now.
He was out there on the 5-minute power play. He got some ice time then. If you give me a minute, I can look it up in the stats. It'll tell you what his power play minutes were.
I didn't think he. I don't know. And you're right. I don't know. I just didn't really notice him. Again. I mean, I would have bashed the Rangers that didn't show up, because there are a lot of Rangers that didn't show up tonight. Denisimov with a couple more assists. He said, it's tough. When you really look at the lineup. Now, if you put these guys into last year's, like Avery, I mean, Sean Avery is coming to play every night. And Boyle. If we had to tell you that next year our second line is going to be Brust, Boyle, and Avery, it would have been like, yep. I don't know, Bill Maher is on, or you know, whatever was on. No, there's no way I'm watching a Rangers game tonight. Even if you had said Marty is our first-line center with Doobie and, you know, this guy Frolov, we were like, oh, boy, we're going backwards. And they're getting it done. This is what, I guess you're right, you know, there is something to be said. These points mean something in the end. If they get in by 2 points, they're taking advantage of this Lowell Devil team with no Martha in there. Hey, I love it. EC break.
He had 17 minutes of total ice time, 4 minutes on the power play. He had quick glance, second actually amongst the forwards for ice time on the power play. Only Artie had more ice time on the power play.
So I was completely wrong.
Third, Dubinsky also. Dubinsky had over 6 minutes on the power play.
All right.
A star is born, Brandon Dubinsky.
Well, listen, he's going to cool off.
You think?
Oh, maybe not.
You don't think he's going to score, 80? Well, he'd be on pace for, 75 goals? You don't think that's possible?
I think it's possible that line. I'm going to have to call that the tag line, the point-the-game line.
There you go. We have one of our regulars, B4MVO1, is at the game, and he said he was going to call in, and he's called in twice and hung up, so I'm hoping he's going to call back. But we do have a phone call on the line if you want to take it. I think it's Kristen.
Yeah, let's call. Let's keep the post party syndrome going, or the post party
syndrome.
Bosco game night. Whatever we're doing here tonight.
All right. Yeah, the Bosco post game report. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. And Kristen, how are you? Hello, 631-974.
Yeah, what's up? It's the
Greek. Oh, it's not. Oops, your number looks just. Your number is very similar to Kristen's. Sorry, Costa. How are you, buddy?
I'm pumped up, guys. I'm pumped up. I mean, I think this is the type of team that a lot of fans can get pumped up about. It's not a bunch of mercenaries. It's a bunch of young guys, but we can back up the young guys. The defense is not that great. It's very young. But this is a team that we can build on for the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. You're
without
right.
a doubt.
Not like
so really happy about this. Really happy about this win tonight. I mean, last night when it was like 3-1, I turned off the TV as a game over. Goodbye. See you next time. So.
Yeah. Would you agree that this was a game that you would see, that you could have seen former Ranger teams Luke going out and laying another egg tonight?
Of course, because this team has heart. This team has heart, a lot of heart. But if they keep blocking shots, man, I don't know, man. I mean, they're blocking a lot of shots. Something has to give.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's again, I feel like they're playing rope-a-dope for a little bit too long for my liking. You know, it's like if teams ever decide to finish or know how to finish, but they are blocking the pass, the shooting lanes, and the Devils, a team like the Devils, just doesn't have the skill players to finish. And with Kovalchuk in this funk, they're dead.
They did a great job on him tonight, too. He only had 4 shots on goal. Oddly enough, he had 19:40 in ice time. They did a great job holding him down, I thought. He was -2. He was on ice for 2 of the goals. So, yeah, he's in quite a funk.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, closer. You're exactly right. I mean, it is a team to get, you know, I think when you said the no mercenaries team, that really is a good way to put it, because there's no guys we know just have come here from, like, other organizations and are here for a couple of years to maybe get us in the playoffs or, you know, these are guys that we know we're going to have for a while, and we're seeing them develop, and, you know, we'll take the loss here and there. As long as we know, you know, if they keep showing this resiliency, because they have faced adversity and they're coming back. Now, you know, in the beginning of the show, I wasn't so pumped up about this victory, but you and Jimmy are now starting to get me pumped up, and I'm starting to think about it. You know, after a loss to the Flyers where, you know, it was kind of a lackluster game. They didn't even get 20 shots on net. We were kind of looking for more of a passionate game from them, more scoring opportunities. We didn't get it. And, you know, 2 games in 2 nights, all right, it's not really a road trip, per se, from Philly to New Jersey. But still, it shows that they're not going to let things get out of hand and drop, like, 5 in a row like the Islanders have done, or, you know, just getting a funk where it turns to, you know, it turns to garbage real quick. And I think that's what fans like. They like we're seeing young guys, and we're also showing a lot of resiliency with these young guys as well.
Hey, but you know what else? You know, last night, even Emmerich said it. You know, they played the Flyers, and that's that's going to be a physical, tough game. And he said it's almost like playing a game and a half. So to come back the following night after, you know, a tough game in Philly, and, you know, it was a physical game, and for them to come back and play this way and hold the Devils, you know, shut them out, I think it's tremendous win, a tremendous win.
All I know is when Brodeur finally hangs it up, the Devils are in big trouble. They are in huge trouble. They'll basically be in rebuild mode, and they're gonna suck for a long time because. How are you
going to
replace Brodeur? How?
Well, Chico and Emmerich were pumping up this, what's his name?
Frazee?
Oh, they're pumping him up. Chico will be ready for him.
Yeah, well, he ain't going to be no Martha. I can tell you that.
No. And he's not going to have the team in front of him that Marty had either.
Plus, and Lou Lamoriello, who really hasn't been able to manage the salary cap since it's been instituted, has to deal with Kovalchuk locking up all that money for all those years. Now, I'm not saying Kovalchuk is going to be as bad as he is in the first, you know, 12, 13 games here. But the way he's playing, that's going to – you talk about an albatross around the neck. if this guy doesn't put up 40 for the next 5 years, even if he's at 25, 30, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of years. And, you know, we know, if anybody knows that, Ranger fans know how that feels, to have these dead weight on the team. I'm not pronouncing him dead yet, but let's wishful thinking, maybe.
Eddie, you know as well as me that signing was the owner's doing. If it was up to Lamoriello, Kovacic would not be on this team, guaranteed.
Oh, I'd agree with that.
So don't be surprised if there's a little friction now between the owner and Lou. Don't be surprised.
Well, I hope so. I hope it all falls.
If it was up to me, then I'd make him the commish.
Yeah, well.
Because he's a damn good GM. He's a damn good GM. I wish we had. How many times do you hear people saying, oh, I wish he was our GM, the Rangers GM?
Right now, I would take probably John Newman over Glenn Sather. That's how bad I think of Glenn Sather.
John Newman was at the game, too. I mean, this guy's everywhere, that Newman. He's everywhere. The guy doesn't have a job.
How does he go to games with no money?
I don't know. I have a job. I can't afford to do what Newman does. He's always at the games. He's in Atlantic City with the girlfriend. He's going here. He's going there. He's spending thousands of dollars on merchandise. I don't know if he plays the numbers or what, but he does more with no job than I can afford to do with a job. I'll tell you that much.
Well. let's not take it on a Newman rant.
I was waiting to see if him call in.
But, so let's go down the list. I mean, let's talk about it. Let's, again, you know, Sean Avery, why do I find like I'm picking on the things that annoy me? I don't want to really go there. But you know what? Avery baited, what you call into another penalty. He did his job again. Was it the first penalty? Somebody went after him or something. He got a retaliation penalty. He drew a penalty, which was great. I mean, hey, this didn't happen last year. Sean Avery wasn't playing like this. And it just, I don't know what the difference is. But I really do.
I think it's more Tortorella. Just like, okay, just play your game, man. Play your game, and you know, that's about it.
Yeah, I think it's also the mood and the tenor of the whole organization, and kind of in an scapegoat fashion, kind of saying, listen, you don't have to win now. We've got to, like, we're rebuilding with youth. Because we obviously, with the way we're financially strapped with some of these ridiculous contracts, that's better to tell the public. So he doesn't feel that pressure to win and you know, to bring that Stanley Cup, type of hockey that he was, he's been relying on. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's going to bring that type of attitude to the Rangers. So I said this on yesterday. It's just on Wednesday. So Wednesday, yeah. I just think that he's not under that pressure, with the safest death and this and that. Now he could just teach these guys how to play. So, and also, I have to say, Michael Sauer, again, is this the end of Matt Gilroy? I think a message has been sent. I mean, Emminger has clearly beat him out. And so I don't know, but I agree with you. This is a different team. The team is representing the fans well because of the passion level and the caring level that we want to see out of the team.
I couldn't agree with you more. Emminger, I thought from what I saw, another strong game tonight. You know, not great, not awful, just steady. Gilroy, I thought Delzato looked pretty good tonight, which, that doesn't.
No, he did.
Oh.
Well, let me tell you something.
Well, we'll get into that. You want to get right into last night's game? You don't want to feel good for just a few more minutes?
All right, let's go. All right, I don't want to. No, I don't want to get up. No. All right, yeah, let's feel good. Let the pigeons loose.
Excuse me.
So, So now JD's Blues are next? That's a Buron start, right?
I don't know. You know, Tortorella never really says who's gonna play until practically game day in most cases. So, you know, who knows? Day off tomorrow? Why? I don't know. Do you have to come back with Buron on Sunday night? I don't know. Do you sit Hedrick after a shutout?
I
don't know. You know, it's a nice problem to have, I guess, but I don't know.
I would play him, but I don't know. I heard there were some rumors tonight that Buron was going to start, and I was like, no way.
No, you heard what you heard Tortorella, right? Did you hear what Tortorella said?
No, I didn't.
He said this afternoon. He says, I don't care if it's. He says, I know it's back to back games. He says, I don't care if we play four nights in a row. Hedrick plays against New Jersey.
Oh.
And that's it. So there you have it. I mean, you know, he knows that Hedrick's usually at his best against the and Tortorella. It hadn't been announced yet that. That Tubby wasn't playing tonight. So, you know, obviously, he's thinking that, you know, Hedrick's always at his best against Marty, but it didn't really matter tonight.
Right. So, all right. So, so maybe it won't be Buron. Maybe let's continue the streak. Let's get these, keep these wins flowing. Let's get a couple games on,
So they got the Blues on Sunday and then the Caps on Tuesday.
Wow, those are two tough games.
Yeah, two very tough games coming up.
Blues are playing well, and they got Halak in net, and he's playing awesome.
See he has four? Is it four shutouts already this year, or three, or something like that?
Yeah, he may. He's been playing out of this world. It's amazing what the JD's got going on over there right now. So, and then the Caps are having a little bit of goaltending problems. Surprise, surprise. when I started lauding their goalie, he completely starting to crap out. So that's good.
That's good.
Good for us.
Laud the Blues now.
Yeah. Now can I go back to this Flyer game?
Costa,
I'm not complaining.
You want to stay on with this?
Let's talk about tonight's game. And maybe
Costa hung up.
Okay.
Robbie on hold, whenever you're ready.
Let's get Robbie. Robbie said it was a – last we left Robbie, Robbie said this is a must-win game, which against the Flyers, and I wonder what his thoughts were coming into this game.
Robbie, you're on.
Yes. What's going on?
What's going on, buddy?
Very
feeling
happy.
Good.
You're very happy. Very happy. Love being those. Jim, remember that story I told you about my friend, how he like betrayed me and everything?
Yes, I do.
Yes, this is perfect revenge. Perfect. I love being the Devils. I love it. Perfect. And it's best to make it even more special. Lundqvist, they didn't overwork him that much, but you know what? He made the big saves when he needed to, and he got the shutout, which is the way it's supposed to be. But it took the pain away from last night's loss because losing the Flyers is just as bad. But anyway, good win tonight. Dubinsky, you know, Eddie, you got on him saying that, you know, he needs to raise his game a little bit. You know, 10 goals, if he stays healthy, and I posted this on Ranger Great's Facebook page, you know, if he stays healthy, he'll hit at least 30 this year. At least that's how I feel. But very happy about tonight. But
he's playing with a lot of confidence. I mean, that's not out of the spectrum. Right now. You're right, you're on target with about 30, I think. I was just going to say, he was missing Callahan tonight.
That's what I was going to bring up. Is he going to be set for Sunday, though, or?
I think he's going to be ready for Sunday. Sure, as far as what I've read, at least, he's going to be back. So, yeah, big game. The shutout. Were you worried? Were you guys worried about the shutout? I was a little worried about it. I felt like Chico was trying to jinx it. I kept saying shot. Henrik was almost pitching a shootout the last game. He came close.
Yeah, he was. I think he was trying to jinx. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Son of a bitch was trying to jinx it.
Well, I had to watch it on. I mean, at first I watched it on MSG2, which is like on the channel guy here, but. It was so blurry. It was like the worst in like 70s. So I flipped on MSG Plus and I watched the rest of the game there. So, but I'd rather listen to Sam and Joe. And I know we had this conversation last week, but yeah, I'd rather listen to Sam and Joe than Chico and Doc, obviously, because they're still the Rangers announcers.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a big. I'm feeling now it's a bigger win. I guess because I knew the Devils were decimated. And, you know, they had like half a freaking Lowell up the. Was he splooging over that Steven Gionta? Whatever Steve. Was that his name, Steven Gionta?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, look at him. Oh, my God. And you know what? And the officiating still stinks. I don't care if the Rangers got power plays. I see. How did that. No penalty on Talander for throwing that puck in the thing. I mean, it's in the crowd. I feel like the Rangers get jacked more than other teams. When it comes to calls, is that even a homerism, or is that really happening? I need some kind of verification.
I think everybody thinks their team gets jacked by the referees, but I just don't understand how with four on ice officials that they can miss so many things.
That's true.
I'll never understand that. That's why I've always said four is too many. There's too many on the ice. Kotze's disagreed with me vehemently on the Paulie D show, but I. What's the point? They're not seeing everything anyway. You might as well go back to three and open up the ice some more.
All right, that's how I feel.
One question, though.
Okay.
Not sure. Now, with Drury out, now he's making as much as Gabriel, which is like $7.5 million. Now, I don't know how like these contracts work in hockey, but why don't they do what the Mets did with K-Rod to try and void some of his contracts? And, like, maybe that could clear some cap space. You think that they could do what the Mets did with K-Rod after he beat up his girlfriend's father?
What do you want Drury to do, beat up his father-in-law?
No, I'm just saying because he's not playing and he's making a ton of money and he's, you know.
You can't void the guy's contract because he's hurt, Robbie.
All right. I'm just wondering. So I'm just asking.
Maybe he's taking bets like Charlie Samuels is.
Don't even get me started on him.
Yeah, the clubhouse manager's betting on baseball. Welcome to the Mets, Sandy Alderson.
I should have even brought up the Mets. Let's just talk about the Rangers. The Mets are just fun. Even though I like Alderson, but let's just not. The Mets are just there to joke. I can't. Whatever.
All right.
But I'm very happy about the Rangers, though. Very happy. Good bounce back win from last night, which is very important. So on the road too.
All right. So
and
Go ahead.
And then notice how there were, as usual, very little Devils fans there. So,
there's never. If they thought that Kovalchuk was going to bring in fans, nobody's bringing fans into any of those teams other the Devils or the Islanders, no matter how good the talent is. I'm watching games. I'm so disappointed. I was watching the Dallas game a little bit. They're in Dallas, right? And Dallas has drawn in years past. It's a freaking Friday night. The Cowboys are out of it. What are you doing? I know it's Friday night lights over there in Texas, but they got like four, you know, it looks like they had like maybe 9,000 a game. It's a joke. And I'm really pissed off got to have better attendance to hockey. Come on.
It's true. And you know what, though? And that's the thing with the Rangers. The Devils, actually, I hate to say it, the Devils management, other than the Kovalchuk thing, which I personally think they gave away too much for him, but they're smart. They realize that They have to win every single year to get fans at Prudential Center or at the ISO Center. The Rangers, all the Rangers have to do is just stay competitive, and like the Garden will still be mostly filled. The Rangers don't have to win to get fans, and this is obvious, but the Devils model is they have to win to get fans into their home arena. The Rangers don't, which is it's good that it shows that Rangers fans are loyal, but they're not fair weather. But on the other hand, our man Dolan realizes that, and he says that, you know, it's part of the lives, and he doesn't
it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's got its pros and its cons. Now, I want to ask everybody in the chat room, I want to ask you and Jim this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how dirty do you think the hit Clarkson on Boyle was that he got the 5 minutes for? You think it warrants a suspension?
I would. Well, is there a rule stipulation if you get a 5 minute boarding penalty? Is there an automatic suspension involved in that? I don't think there is.
I don't think so. No.
Okay. He might get a game, maybe two. I don't know. You know, you never know with this league anymore. The way the suspensions get handed out.
They're a joke. Batman is just like, they're a joke. And the hit with Clark, that reminds me of Clark Stillo.
It's not Batman.
Batman.
Batman's not the one that hands out the suspensions. It's Colin Campbell, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
He's the disciplinarian, if you will.
The penalty czar.
Carcillo should get suspended for that hit on Fedotenko. Let me tell you something. Carcillo is a pure. I hate. He's a pure scumbag.
Oh.
I hate to say he is. He's got no teeth. He's got long hair. He's got that villain look. He's the newer version of Dave Schultz. And yes, I still know his name even at my age. My dad and my neighbor have stories from him. He's the newer version of Dave Schultz. He's just a pure. He doesn't play hockey. He's just your typical Flyers player. He should get fined and suspended. He is a pure scumbag. He is.
I'm glad that you brought this up. Because guys,
Robbie reaching into the history books. I like it.
I know.
For my age, yes. But go on, sorry, Eddie.
Okay. I did something last night after that, was it 4-1 loss, that I have not done in many years. And I've actually made fun of it on this show. And I stood up and I watched the PDQ, Nestle Quick post-game show, whatever they got going on over there. And I saw it, Jim. I finally saw it. Somebody with a set of balls on them was on that show and talked the truth. It was like he was on this show. It was like it was me, you, Robbie, and Mike Keenan said it. He said, the Rangers cannot retaliate. They must initiate. It's one of the reasons they lost the game is because they retaliated instead of initiated. And he said, flat out, Carcillo left his feet. We're not talking about Vili Lano here. Carcillo is a punk. Carcillo is vermin. Now, he didn't say it. This is me paraphrasing it. He said, Carcillo's known for doing this. And why do you think he did it? Because it's the type of player he is. And Bill Pito, with those Lisa Loeb glasses of his, is sitting there going, well, do you think he really meant it? And Keenan's looking at him like he's got four heads. Of course he meant it. And I finally saw a broadcaster on Madison Square Garden Network finally say it and tell it like it is. I couldn't believe it. It was well worth my half an hour to finally see it. And I guess Keenan's contract's coming to an end because you know how they like to keep everything vanilla and very flaccid over there. And he was right. He felt that the Rangers should have initiated, and I know some of the guys in the chat room feel this way, from the Gabrick incident, right off the bat, should have said, we're starting with you. We're going after Mike Richards. We're going after Jeff Carter.
That's what they should have done. And, you know, I don't know why, Bugard fought last night. I forgot. I want to delete it. Did Bugard fight last night in the Flyers game? I should know that. I know.
Him and Jody Shelley had, you know, like
Larry Brooks. I forgot that, but
you know, you knew that was coming. That was, you know, even Larry Brooks said today in the paper, Jody Shelley and Derek Bugard had their appointment at 3 minutes into the game.
Yeah, that's true. But I would have rather seen Bugard go after Carcillo That's right. Because you know,
well,
that's because I would have loved to see Carcillo.
But see, the thing is, Carcillo didn't want anything to do with Bugard.
You still go after him. You went after your superstar. Like, go ahead. I don't care. Get a penalty. The game is already over in the third period. Go after him. I don't care.
But like Eddie said, though, you don't go after Carcillo. What does that do? You go after one of their superstars. You go after Giroux, or you go after Richards or somebody.
That's true. You want to go after both of them. That's right. You should go for the stars. That's actually a good point. But I'd like to see both of them go. Let's leave it at that.
I mean, message right. has got to be sent. And listen, I applaud that the Rangers did fight and really came out the winners predominantly in the fight. Prust, I think.
He took care of him.
I like to see that, but I want to see us initiating and sending a message. This is a different team this year, and I said that Wednesday. That's what I was looking forward to, and like I got sated, I'm using that word, for a bit about that. But and the Rangers, I guess we're into talking about the game. I thought that game really was. The Rangers didn't get many shots on goal. Even the Flyers didn't get many shots on goal. How many shots on goal total did they have? 25, maybe? I thought it was kind of a goofy game. I thought anytime Blair Betts and Nikolai Zverev go on the same game, you pretty much have, I mean, that's...
I was just about to bring that up. I find it extremely ironic how two ex-Rangers have got a score in the first Rangers Flyers game of the year against them. Just a slap in the face. Find that very ironic. And
Rangers law.
Yeah.
How many ex-Rangers? How many guys that have played for the Rangers in the last 2 years have scored goals against the Rangers already this season? I can think of at least three.
I think Gomez scored when they faced the Canadians. I think Gomez is one.
They haven't played the Canadians. I'm talking about this season. They haven't played the Canadians.
Just so far this year,
I could think of three right off the top of my head.
Betts, and
P.A. Parenteau.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Pat on the Islanders game. Yeah, it's true.
So it's Rangers law.
Everybody in the building, including Toucan Sam Rosen and Joe Michelin Man Micheletti, they're saying, hey, the Rangers should go high on this goaltender, which they decided to call Bob. Did anybody get that? That was the stupidest thing. I mean, there's so many crazy names in hockey. Like Anti Nidamaki, I can't even say his name. Anti Nick Nidamaki, and you got
all these guys.
I can't say his name.
Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky, right?
Bobrovsky.
They couldn't say Bob.
They couldn't pronounce his name, so they were like Bob. That's the chant, Bob. Bob.
Well,
nonstop. Flyers fans are idiots.
In fairness to Sam and Joe, that is what the Flyers are nicknaming him. I mean, yeah, it's lame, but
Philadelphia people are too stupid to pronounce a foreign name. That's why.
But that was they were talking about Bobrovsky during the Ranger game tonight, and Chico said, "Oh, have the Flyers finally found that ever elusive franchise goaltender? The guy's played what 10 games? I mean, did we hear this about Brian Boucher and Emery? Wasn't he going to be the franchise goaltender?" Who was the other guy? Michael Layton. All right. Don't yell at me.
Dominic Purcell. I heard a lot about these guys that are supposed to come up and ruin. But my point
Pelle
is,
Lindbergh, he was going to be their franchise goaltender until he hit the wall, and then, you know.
Chechmanic, Adam from Chicago says.
Too soon?
What?
I said Lindbergh, he was going to be their franchise goalie, and then he hit the wall too soon.
Oh.
But there was another one in there that I forgot about. Well, Nidabaki, he was another one. He was going to be the franchise goaltender, but I'm forgetting somebody. I'll think of it. It'll come to me. Wayne Stevenson.
All right, now let me finish this thought.
I'm sorry.
Everybody in the world knows to go high on this guy, and the Rangers are shooting low. Every shot was right in his pants. I mean, this, you could see it. The scouting report, I'm telling you, go high on this guy. You know how they say, oh, you go high on Henrik's glove side. This guy is always down on his knees. He's on his knees more than Liberace was. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh. I wish my brother George was here.
I wish my brother George was here. But I'm just saying that, it was a kind of an offensively dull game, I thought. And so that's the scoop on that. And the Delzato thing, and you said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to say it now. You Ranger fans who are living game by game, get a life. Because you cannot pick apart a team on one game. A player, you cannot tell me, oh, Delzato was terrible. Look what he did. If you watch the replay, he got hooked a little bit. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest of plays, and he's made some gaffes. The guy is 20 years old. Can you look at the big picture, you goof? Please, stop with the game. This is not football where every game matters. Yeah. And especially when you're dealing with youth, they're going to suck it up. They're going to look stupid. On defense, you look even more stupid when you mess up. It usually leads to a scoring chance or a goal. And everybody last year complained about Delzato's plus-minus. Now his plus-minus is, at least last I checked, he was a +2, which is much better than his -4 billion he was last year. So let's just calm down with that. And another thing, we did this with Envalisa last year. When we wave a guy, do we really just gotta piss in his face by making him play that night? They did it again with Todd White. Guess what? You wave. We don't want you around. By the way, you're playing in that. No organization.
By the
you're
way,
fine. But can you come in tonight and work some overtime for me?
The name I was thinking of, Robert Esch.
I forgot about him.
He was going to be the franchise goaltender. He's now out of hockey. All right, there. I'm done with my Philadelphia goalie history.
By the way, you're fine. Overtime.
Can you play tonight?
Tom White must just feel like just a loser. They don't want me. But, Callahan's out. It's just, how low is he in the depth chart? That Evgeny Grachev is playing.
What'd you think of Grachev's play tonight?
There's two things that are I think he needs to work on. He has zero confidence offensively, I feel. I feel like he's looking to get rid of the puck as soon as he gets it. He looks like he doesn't have much initiative offensively so far. Maybe that'll come. And secondly, he's got to stop skating around the ice with a stick in the air. If you watch the kid, when he's skating, his stick is not on the ice. You need to have it on the ice. And a lot of times it's not there. But I thought he played okay in his limited time, but, I know the fourth line, playing with Derek Bougard and the center ice when they head out with him. Oh, Todd White. I mean, how many scoring opportunities are you going to get? So.
I'm good, thanks. My neighbors are offering. My neighbors are walking by, they're offering me beer.
Wow, I can tell you.
I got good neighbors.
Place you're living in. What kind of beer? Anything good?
Miller Lite.
Oh, God. Get rid of Robbie. I've had enough of him.
All right, Robbie, we'll talk to you Wednesday night, buddy.
All right, Wednesday night. All right,
Robbie.
Great win tonight. I'm very excited. I'll see you guys next week. Go Rangers, baby.
All right, later.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye.
Thank you.
The great Robbie.
All right, bring it on. I want more festivities. We have more callers. Entertain me.
We have no more callers on the line. 646-478-4692 if you want to call in. We got about an hour to go. Otherwise, we're going to have to dip into the joke book.
Todd, what?
We don't want you, except tonight. Now, let me ask you a question.
I like when people ask me questions.
Well, you are the guy. You and Ricky are, well, and Mandar too, I guess. You're the guys I defer to when it comes to the questions regarding the enforcers and goons and things of that nature. I defer to you. After that hit Carcillo on Fedotenko, did you not think that as soon as that was over and done, that Bugard should have been one of the next guys on the ice? Or did you have a – I mean, obviously, Prust wound up going with Carcillo. But in my mind, I thought Derek Bugard should have been climbing over the wall as Fedotenko's coming off the ice. Or in your mind, is that – or is that, in your mind, retaliatory? Did I say that right? Retaliatory?
Yeah. Catchatory? Chicken catchatory, I think, is a great meal. But as far as the – I had a weird take on that. I didn't think it was all that at first look, all that dirty. I mean, he did leave his feet, but I don't know. Fedotenko could not believe there was no call on that. He was just – he even said it in the post-game interview. He said – he actually was quoted as saying the referee told him, said, you shouldn't have ducked or – which was, that's the thing that actually set Keenan off when he heard the referee's explanation of that. I think any time anybody is taking liberties with any of your players, the boogeyman should be let loose to wreak carnage on the ice. Yes. Next question. The guy in the back?
That's all. That was my only question. That was my main question for you.
What did you feel? And how do you feel on Grotchev's play? What do you think?
I liked what I saw from him tonight. I thought tonight was probably the most, especially in the second period. I thought it was the most involved I've seen him in the play since he's been back. I mean, I would totally agree with you. He hadn't looked like before tonight that he wanted the puck. Tonight, he took the puck behind his own net and skated it all the way across the blue line, and then dumped it, and then outraced the defender for the puck and wound up with the puck again and created a scoring chance. I thought tonight was the most involved we've seen him in the play. He can skate for a big guy. He sure can skate. And, you know, he was out there last night with they had him out there with Boyle and Bugard. Jesus, how do you see anything past those three guys? I mean, you got 6'4", 6'6", and 6'8". He's a midget. Oh, excuse me, little person.
And I don't think – have we ever uttered that word? I mean, have ever heard that word uttered? The shortest guy on this line is 6'4" for the Rangers.
Yeah.
I mean that's quite intimidating to say at age. I think he's adjusting well. I just hope Ranger fans aren't expecting him to put any points up. I mean that's what he's here to do. He's not here, but he's learning the heart of the forechecking. And listen, with this atmosphere that the Rangers have, everybody, and even seeing Frolov do it tonight playing with that first line, they're really everybody's forechecking. There is nobody. Floating around there. Everybody is hustling, and I think that's what I like to see. Now, once Prosper and Gabrick come, and those guys are more finesse guys, It'll be interesting to see if this keeps up with less time, because, you know, every, you know, the first line will become the second line, the third line will become the fourth line, and the fourth line will become the Connecticut Whale.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see Grachev is going to go down. I think Derek Stepan is going to go down as well. Derek looked okay tonight. But, you know, and Ranger fans, are starting to get on certain guys that just, they're too young. This is how it works. We don't have Taylor Halls or Jordan Eberles or Jeff Skinners that come into the league at 19 and are just so highly skilled they can make an impact. These guys aren't, you know, are middle-of-the-road guys. They're character guys. They're not, and they're workers. So not superstars. They don't have super skills. This isn't a fantasy league where you're going to see, you know, goals and assists and points. This is a attitude that the Rangers are building.
Right.
You've got to be patient with it.
Well,
you know,
I think a fair way to describe it, you know, Stepan, I think we all think he's going to be a very good player for them, but he's not a phenom, right?
Right.
He's not. This isn't Crosby coming into the, you know, it's going to take him time to develop. He's not, I think that's probably the best way to put it. He's not a phenom. And we're just going to have to, watch him progress.
And it's what I'm seeing that so is good. First of all, you know, just the speed of the game is so dramatically faster. Like from college to, the fact that he's able to keep up night to night and not be defensively live, you know, a defensive liability out there, he's logging a fairly decent amount of minutes, or was at one point. And the same thing goes for Grachev. Same thing goes for Sauer. Sauer's first, you know, real shot at the big time. And, you know, the Rangers are very young, and, you know, you just can't be going nuts because they don't beat the Flyers. I know we're all butthurt because they lost to the Flyers, but I'm not going to start blaming guys and saying, oh, he's taking a step backwards this year. This is the second time he did it. He gave away the Islander game. He gave away the Flyer game. Yes, he gave away the games. I saw a lucky goal, that one that went up against the Flyers. The puck went up Henrik's stick, his back, and into the back of the net. And of course, I had Ricky calling me, going, "Hey, there's your boy Lundqvist." Yeah, between shutouts, that's the time I hear from Ricky. When Henrik's shutting out people, you don't hear nothing. But so, you know, it's just patience. Let's look at the big picture here, folks. Everybody wanted young guys. Well, guess what? They're here.
That's right. And, you know, like you said before, what is great about this team is that, you know, like somebody said in the chat room as well, they're not mercenaries, or Costa said it when we had them on. You know, these are Rangers. You know what I mean? You know, these are guys that, you know, hopefully 10 years from now, we'll be looking at these guys. I'm not trying to exaggerate the point here, but we'll be looking at these guys like Yankee fans look at Jeter and Posada and Rivera, and you know what I'm saying, guys that are lifers. You know, these are guys that are Rangers and will always be Rangers.
Either
not just guys, that, not just guys that pass through, put the sweater on for 2 years, you know, and then went away.
You know, the Valerie Kamensky's of the old world and Theo Fleury's, and so, you know, it's true. And, you know, I know you want to win, but, but it's just not going to happen, overnight. And it's fantastic that, you know, we've been treated to that. And again, you know, now that I think about it, it's just so undermanned. If you say, you know, I was saying the Devils were such patsies, but, you know, yeah. And Cool AA stuff brings it up, the good point about once the payday start coming around, it's going to be tough. You know, it's one of the pitfalls of having a lot of good young guys is that in the salary cap era, it's going to be tough. Pleasantly pleased. Anytime you shut out the, if they would have shut out Marty, that would have been even better. I think that's the only way I would have loved it better, if Marty had given up the three goals. How did the penalties work out? Well, because they were complaining the Rangers were very undisciplined in that Philly loss. Didn't seem like they took too many penalties tonight, the Rangers.
Let's see. Tonight they took, pull up the box score, 1, 2, 3 penalties tonight.
Yeah, that's another key to success, is to stay out of the box.
Uh-oh, are you there?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you said wait. All right.
No.
So, that sounds good. As far as that goes.
Yeah, and it's especially important because they're not killing penalties very well. Even Tortorella, I think, said their penalty killing unit was an oxymoron.
That's a good one.
Last night, 3, 4, 5 minors last night. So, it's.
Is Jan Eriksson available? Get him out of retirement. Or, let me see, Greg Polis?
Greg Polis. All right, we got to call him.
Nick Beverly. I think of some of the old-time penalty killers. It's a good win. And I didn't notice it. Were there a lot of people at the Pebble tonight? I would love to have gotten to talk to somebody that was at the actual game.
I don't know what happened to Scott was going to call in, and I kind of thought Newman would call in, but he's
Newman's probably the Sonic.
The attendance for tonight's game they have listed as 17,000. Somehow
quiet.
I did. I was going to say it was very quiet. But we got another call online. This is a Skype call. I wonder if it's Paul because I asked him to call in. You're on the air.
Ask and you shall receive.
Paul, you are the man.
Now,
see, I'm glad you called in. let's get your thoughts on tonight's game first, and then I want to hit you with a question.
Jim, just one thing. You were just saying about the crowd tonight. You know, the MSG feed was on, and Sam had commented early in the first period. He said, disappointing crowd here tonight, a lot of empty seats at ice level. So it sounds like the building there was maybe half to maybe three-quarters filled and probably two-thirds were Ranger fans, but they definitely had a lot of empty seats there tonight, according to what Sam said on the MSG feed.
Now, Paul,
do you think he'd ever say that if the Garden was half full?
No, of course not.
No. You get fired.
All right, so Paul, give us your thoughts on the game tonight.
Good comeback game. You know, you lose the night before to a division rival. You're 24 hours later, you got to play. One of your top players, you know, your heart and soul players, is out, Callahan, and you know they've been chugging along. I shouldn't say use the word chugging, but you know they've been without Gabrick, they've been without Drury. You know, Prosper hasn't played with the knee injury last year. It's lingered on. And they've really been banged up, too. And, you know, it was definitely a good win tonight. I mean, I know the Devils are banged up, too. But, you know, in the past, these were the games the Rangers would lose. You know, they would just roll over and die. And I thought they came and they played a very good road game tonight. And they showed a little bit of spunk. And, you know, Henrik made, you know, saves when he had to. And it was a good win tonight.
Yeah, and what's the question? Was that the question you had for Paul?
No, I have another question, but you go ahead.
No, I was saying, don't you find this team, unlike last year, more, you could relate to them more a little bit? That, you know, it's like, okay, I can get behind this team if they're going to work like this every night. I mean,
absolutely.
I definitely feel it. And me and you live in the same area, kind of. What channel was that that the MSG broadcast on for you?
In Nassau County here, it was on 414.
Okay.
You had to go to one of the higher channels.
Ah, so that's where I couldn't find it.
Yeah, because I saw a lot of people that they were having problems. They couldn't find the game, and they had to watch the feed on, you know, with Chico and the doctor.
And the man. Chico and the man.
Looking good.
Paul, I saw you on Facebook. You were angry about that Flyer loss. What did you? What was getting your ire up about that?
It just, you know, it was just Costello running. You know, listen. I mean, you can't, lower yourself to their level sometimes. But I just thought, you know, someone maybe. I mean, Pruss stood up, but I thought maybe even later in the game, someone would have at least taken a run at Costello. You know, it's not to fight him. You know, try to line him up and, you know, bring you know, get the elbow up and the gloves in his face. It just irritated me because I felt, now people are going to disagree with me. You guys maybe disagree with me too, but I just thought they were losing, and it was maybe to send a message to Costello, you better keep your head up from here on in. And, you know, that's just my opinion. You know, I mean, everyone may differ with, you know, what I'm thinking, but, you know, like I said, even just the hard hitter to get the elbow up on him or something along the boards, I just thought that he pretty much had a pass that game, other than Prust. And, you know, I mean, of course, he's not going to fight Bugard. Forget Bugard. You know,
he's not going to.
But, you know, other than Prust, I thought no one really, you know, tried to take a run at him or to give him a shot here or there, but. My opinion.
I don't know if you heard the opening of the show, but do you agree that wouldn't it have felt better if Bugard had gone after one of their skill players, or you just wanted to see Costello get his comeuppance?
You know, that's a tough question, because what I just said a minute ago, I don't want to stoop down to the Flyers, you know, historically their level. But, you know, he could have went after Pronga, he could have went after someone like that, but... You know, when you say skill players, like a non-fighter, physical, you know, that I'm not too, you know, I don't believe in that, you know.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. And now I was a little bit wishy-washy. I don't know if I was wishy-washy. I think because if Marty wasn't in net, I didn't feel like it was I would have been more, I would have been happier. But I think it's a big win because it shows some resiliency. And
exactly.
We haven't seen any of that at the Rangers in the last 10 years. We really haven't. I mean, they're facing adversity night after night as it is, but, you know, with this lineup. So, you know, it's good, and, you know, everybody's playing well. The only guy I really don't see... fulfilling any kind of role, I'm a little down on, which is good because then he'll start scoring. I mean, you know, I know Christensen got that big goal the other night, but he doesn't seem, you know, for what he's supposed to do, he really doesn't do it. I don't know. I mean, he's supposed to be a skilled player. And then I read a couple days ago, a week ago, how he's still talking about his confidence and he's got to learn. I mean, how about you got to play in his league to freaking learn?
Yeah,
you're a head case,
right.
You're a head case. I don't want to keep hearing about it. Oh,
yeah. No, you're right there. And what about our friend, Mr. Tortorella?
Now, see, that's my question for you, Paul. That's why I wanted you to call in, because, well, no, honestly, I mean, one of the biggest torts detractors on this show. And I just want to know, has your opinion changed of him at all this year? Because... mine has a little bit. I was kind of down on him at the end of last season, but I've seen some things from him, some changes in him that I like, and I said the other night on the show that I think this team is starting to take on the personality of their coach. So as one of his biggest detractors, I want to hear your opinion.
Should I keep it clean and
not get my blood
pressure up?
Paul, say whatever you want. I'm just curious.
I'm kidding. Jim, I definitely agree with you. it seems to me, and I think I had spoke to Eddie about this, I'm not sure, but it just seems this year, though, he must have definitely in the dressing room and around the players, the atmosphere doesn't seem to be as uptight because the players seem much more relaxed. And I remember last year, I'm not sure if it was your show, I think it was on Paulie D, I think Nicky had called up, and Nicky had said, there's a big problem. He goes, those players are terrified to make a mistake. You can see they're sitting on the bench, they're gripping their sticks, there's a lot of tension. It just seems this year there's a plan, and they just seem to be relaxed. They're not afraid. They're not afraid if they make a mistake. Even a few games ago, and I give Tortorella credit, because I thought maybe after the game we'd hear something negative. The game Avery, refresh my memory, a week or two ago, when Avery, someone got hit and Avery jumped in. Was it the Boston game? He went after someone and got an instigator?
Yeah, that was the Boston game with, was that with Stewart?
I can't remember, but during
the
intermission.
I think it was the Boston game.
Yeah, but during the intermission, Ron Duguay had said, I think that was bad what he did. And after the game, in fact, when Sean went back to the bench, when he got out of the penalty box, Tortorella went over and said something to him and, like, patted him. And after the game, Tortorella said, I don't have a problem with that. He was, you know, we're sticking together. He stuck up for his teammate. And it just seems to be this year, Torts is just, I don't know, he just seems to be relaxed. And, you know, maybe it took a full season for him to evaluate himself in New York, because the way he coached and acted last year, he wasn't going to survive here. And I think he realizes that he had to tone down a little bit, because you cannot keep the team uptight every game and constantly fight with the media and Larry Brooks. I mean, it gets old. This isn't Tampa. You're not going to win here. There's not five writers or media people here. There's like 40 or 50 every game. And I think he realizes that now. And if he can play the way he can play, you know, the coach or manager in New York has to conduct himself, and he can win, then, of course, you're going to be successful and you're going to be popular. And I think he's realizing this now.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know what – I think he just was in defensive mode right from the beginning. Let's face it, the guy's got a little bit of a Napoleon complex. I mean, he's a hothead. There's no doubt about it. And I don't – you know, one of the things I didn't like about him last year and the year before even with the Avery situation, don't be a hypocrite. You know, if you're going to create a standard for the team, don't violate that standard yourself. And I think that was my biggest problem with him last year. And, you know, we all bashed him, and, you know, I definitely criticized him, too, when they were down. And he definitely deserves credit when they're winning or they're putting out a good effort. A lot of coaches, would use the we were injured crutch. I mean, Mario Gaborik's an elite player. I mean, and you need to even be in a playoff situation, you need at least one elite player. And, you know, two or three will get you far, too. I mean, you got of course, Henrik, but, there's a lot to be said for the team so far and Tortorella for, you know, hanging in there. You see how things turn to crap real quick out on the island? That thing is spiraling out of control. And even Buffalo, I don't know how Buffalo's doing tonight, but they have been struggling. They haven't won a game at home yet. So I give props to Tortorella for calming it down.
That's it. It's not hard to play here in New York. You know, you can be fiery in that, but, you know, he's just got to, you know, stay in control. He was getting out of control last year, and it wasn't good. It caused the team. It caused a lot of upsetment around the team. You know, the whole thing with the media, you know, every time Larry Brooks asked him a question, you know, he was blowing up. And you can't do it here in New York because, they'll kill you, you know. They'll kill you. And
well,
I think
well,
he's
Paul,
just learning how to play with everyone now here, and that's basically what it comes down to. And you know what? We have some talent. We have some young players coming up, and it's great they're winning early in the season because, like you just touched on, so many other teams are struggling right now. Now's the time to sort of try to distance ourselves early in the season and get a jump on some teams.
Yep.
Points count now as much as they do now as they do in April. So.
That's right. And, Paul, I don't know if you saw the live chat that Dancing Larry Brooks did on the other day, but, of course, one of the first questions somebody asked him is if him and Torts have smoothed things over, and he said absolutely. He said they've been getting along fine, and Tortorella's been great.
That's good.
So, you know, I keep comparing him to the transformation that Tom Coughlin had to go through with the Giants, and maybe it's, you know, maybe we're seeing something like that.
I hope so, because we just, you know, we all get frustrated. We, you know, when things don't go well, you know, all as fans, we're passionate. That's the good word to use for a Ranger fan. And we just want to see them do well and just for the effort to be there. I mean, we know we can't, you know, we can't go 80-0, 82-0, but, you know, you just want the effort to be there. Where they go, you know, like last year, they went through some periods, you know, they were horrible game after game, and that's what we ask for. You know, we pay
right.
a lot of money, our season ticket holders, we pay a lot of money for the season tickets. It's frustrating. You know, the people like me on Long Island, that live on Long Island Sunday, we're in another tough situation because the railroad is pretty much shut down for maintenance work. So everyone is trying to sell
yeah.
tickets that live on Long Island. And it's just, you know, we have to deal with things like that. But I guess that's the fun of it, too, being a Ranger fan.
Absolutely.
Dealing with adversity.
That's what we do. All right, Paul. Well, listen, you sound pretty tired. I know you've been getting up early for the new job, but I appreciate you calling in and giving us your thoughts. And don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you next week, maybe.
Okay, not a problem. And, Jim, when are you coming when are you coming up to New York? I hear through the grapevine.
I leave Phoenix on November 18th. I'll be in Pennsylvania hopefully on the 20th, and then we have our big get-together on November 26th in Hackensack with Greshner and Fatiu and Chris Katsopoulos.
Okay, and are you planning any garden games? Or?
My brother had asked me if I wanted to see about maybe going to the Flames game, which is the 22nd, Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him to look into tickets, and then I never heard another word from him, so I don't know. So
okay.
I don't know. It's always so hectic when I come back east with my family because we're kind of spread out around the Jersey and New York and Pennsylvania. So I'd like to, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
All right.
If I'm going to go to that Flames game, I'll definitely let you know.
Yes, let me know and keep me up to date. And I'll be in touch with you, and, of course, I'll be in touch with Eddie.
Okay.
All right,
take
guys.
Take care, Paul.
All right,
great
Paul.
Show. Take care. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right, that was Paul, and now we have Newman, who was at the game. Good evening, Newman. How are you?
Hello, boys. How are you?
We're doing good. Are you dancing in the streets out there after that 3-0 win?
I would have been dancing in the streets if I didn't have to throw three people out of the rock tonight.
Now, what happened?
Let's just say they said some derogatory names and terms towards Miss Stacey Katz.
Oh, you can't have that. You can't have that.
They were Devil fans also.
I went through that at the old US Air Arena with Capitals fans. It's not, you know, and it was the same situation. You know, we were with the girlfriends and wives, and the fans were just getting out of hand, and it takes all the fun out of being at the game, you know?
Jim, it's one thing to say something towards me or to Bruce or to Daryl, who I was with, those guys. But you don't say anything toward the wives or the girlfriends.
Of course, because it's just, you know, it doesn't take a real man to do that, you know?
Yeah. I bit my lip. I went to security. I said, Stacey ran up the stairs in tears. Okay, ran up the stairs in tears. Security said, what happened? I said, the schmuck's behind us. Pardon my French. The idiot's behind us. Cursing her out and this, that, and the other. And they were drunk, too. They threw them right out.
Good.
Yeah.
Three.
Now, what period did they get thrown out? Was it a long thing, or
let's
did you get them out right away?
12 minutes into the game.
Wow.
Wow.
12 minutes in. I think that was the first goal scored, if I'm not mistaken.
But if they really wanted to punish him, they should have made him stay.
Yeah, well, yeah, they were drunk. That's the other thing. They were pounding beers and everything else. Like, nobody's business.
Well,
so, Was it Ken Danico?
Huh?
The Ken Danico that was sitting behind you?
No, I don't know who the hell it was. It was two young kids. It was three or four young kids. I'd rather not talk about it anymore, but yeah. It's depressing. You know, you don't want to go to a game and have to worry about idiots behind you or in front of you making comments like that. But every game is like that. Every place is like that. You're going to get one or two more people like that.
I know. So I don't want to talk about that anymore because you don't want to.
Yeah, thank you.
Now,
all right. Well, can I ask? Other than that, give us a sense of the crowd. They're saying there were 17,000 there tonight, which I think would put them almost full.
It's scary. As I was walking in between the concourses, I don't know who else was there that called in or not. But in between the periods, I saw hordes of Devils fans hanging out, whatever. Then you see people, I guess from corporate, walking around asking quote unquote Devils fans, "Oh, you guys look like you're huge Devils fans. How would you like to be moved down to certain sections?" They weren't sold out. They weren't sold out. They were having people moved down to the lower sections to throw in the blacks.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. They don't do that at Ranger games, if you know what, Eddie, correct?
No.
You don't see that.
Nobody books.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, it's pretty sad times over there.
And what would you, where would you put the balance of Ranger fans and Devils fans? Was it 50-50, 60-40?
I say 65-35.
And in whose favor?
Honestly, the Devils. They came out in hordes tonight. I don't know why. They came out in hordes.
Huh.
We were scattered. We were scattered, but we were in big groups, us Ranger fans.
Well, for good reason, when you got jerks.
I was, let me rephrase, I bought my tickets through somebody that I went to school with, so I don't know who I was sitting with, but they were thrown out, those kids. Let's put it that way. I got my tickets through the Alumni Association at my college.
Okay.
But still, it's not right that they should be saying that. But you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So give us your thoughts on the actual game.
I thought the power play was well. I thought the first and second lines were great. I thought Proloff doesn't know what the hell he's doing out there. I'm sorry. I don't know what the heck he's doing. Proloff looks lost.
Yeah, Proloff lost.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Sloloff.
Yeah, it's terrible.
What's his obsession with wraparounds?
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. Was he trying to imitate Stephon Matteau from '94? Come on.
He thinks he's playing NHL 10 or something.
Yeah, NHL. Exactly. I don't know what the hell he's doing. He looks lost out there. He really doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He looks lost.
Yeah, I said it the other night, I think he really is like a guy that needs to play on a skill line. I don't know, maybe, but you know, how many times am I going to make that excuse for him? You got to make your own chances. You're a pro, you got to adjust to the game, and you got to put, he's only getting paid to do one thing, and that's scoring chances and getting the puck in the net. He's not throwing it. I don't know if things are going to change with Prosper and Gabby get back here. But everybody else seems to be doing their part on this team. It's time for him to start doing his.
What was the deal with Callahan being out tonight?
Yeah, he had soreness in the neck from going head first into the boards last night.
That's okay. Sure. I didn't see any of the Philly game last night, which is probably a good thing. I was down in AC with the girlfriend for the NJEA conference, but you know what I mean? I wasn't paying attention to the Rangers last night.
Nice. Down at AC. Where'd you stay?
The Trop for free.
Wow! Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're more like Kramer than Newman. You know that?
I know. I don't work for the post office anymore either. You know that, Jim?
What?
I don't work for the post office anymore either. I live a big life. My whole life's fantasy.
I mean, it's just the way you just fall into things. You're more like Kramer than Newman.
That's correct.
Maybe we'll call you Kramer from now on.
Oh God! Call me Georgie. Everything falls in his lap too.
Just keep Stacy away from those envelopes.
Yeah, yeah, don't let them.
Yeah, don't pick the cheap envelopes.
Never.
All right, Newman. Anything else?
I don't know. It's ridiculous. When's that show? Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
Oh, beautiful. Maybe I'll listen. Oh, by the way, good job with Jackie the other night. I mean, on the, I was listening to the pod. I started laughing.
Well, thank you. I think some felt I was a little harsh. Some felt I was right on. What are you going to do?
You're right on, by the way. You're right on. I hope she doesn't. And by the way, SK does not appreciate and will beat the living you-know-what out of JL if they meet each other again.
All right. Well, we don't need to, we don't need girls fighting over it. Come on. It's ridiculous. Come on. Come on.
Might
what
be,
are we going to
do? I know.
It's enough.
The power play looked good tonight.
Yeah, it did.
What a segue.
Yeah. Subject change.
You like that, right, Eddie?
That's funny.
And Newman, we're going to see you on the 26th, right?
Yes, you will. Plus one. Good. I got a table already reserved for five people.
All right, well, I'm counting on you picking up my bar tab.
Yeah, what are you crazy? You're going to pick up mine after I drink under the table.
Did you hear Mr. Geik throw down the gauntlet last week?
Geik, I will drink you and Jim combined under the table. Eddie, right now, you won't be needed to be transplanted by helicopter. You and Jim combined, helicoptered over to Hackensack University Medical Center.
You have no chance.
Eddie, what's your drink of pleasure? Captain Morgan 140? Let's do it. Bring it on. I was drinking all day on yesterday.
I'll drink brain alcohol. I'll drink gasoline. There is no one on this planet can outdrink me and maintain sobriety.
Eddie, I will drink Rams.
You won't even know
blood.
I'm drunk. They'll be kicking me out of the EMS truck. And I'll be in there laughing.
Hey, I can drink you under the table. I'll still have room left over for Jim.
I'm telling you, I could drink more than Jim Backus.
I could just run Larry Backman.
More than Foster Brooks.
Larry Backman.
I could drink Lenny Dykstra under the table. That's how good of a drinker I am.
Yeah. Oh,
I will drink you and Jim under the table, and you guys will be have to be escorted out to Hackensack University to get your stomachs pumped.
Jim, I can't see him being carted out, throwing up in the
all over Stacy.
Oh, yeah, stop it.
So
I really
should you
have
bet. Hey, you have to wear a skirt after I drink you under the table.
Dude.
You have to wear a skirt, and Jim will be wearing commando.
I am Godzilla, and you will be Japan.
Well,
that's how.
Newman, you gotta remember one thing. You know, my daughter's going to be there, so I can't, like, go frat house. You know, I'll be...
I'll even give Megan a shot of... what does she drink? Pepsi? Coke? What? You tell me.
Jesus.
Formula? I'll do formula. I'll drink baby formula for you, Jim.
You're out of your mind. All right, go tend to the lovely Miss Stacy Katz. She needs you.
She's home already. I'm just dropping her off. She's home already.
You two don't live together yet?
Excuse me, we're not married. What are we? Literally, 4 months in, Jim. Come on, get real.
Well, I just thought the way this whirlwind romance has moved along, I figured that was the next natural step.
Maybe Point and Stone would be the elevation. Maybe I'll propose. Maybe you'd be the Justice of the Peace.
You're gonna do a live on air proposal.
You never know, Jim.
Do
if
you
I
really
get drunk enough? You never know.
You really want to do that in front of this group and have thousands of people at the Point and still chanting, "Don't do it to Stacy."
Oh, thousands. There's going to be thousands now. What is Madison Square Garden?
It's theater of the mind, John.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Jim.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you Wednesday.
Have a great rest of the night and great weekend, fellas.
You too, buddy.
Take care.
Keep me on, please.
Keep you on hold?
Yeah, please.
Sure. All right. The great John Newman. He's... he's talking the talk with you, I'll tell you that much.
He's got no chance.
He's
just telling you. I don't know. Have you ever heard me have like utmost confidence in anything, really, where I could say that there's no chance. There's no chance. You have to understand there's a weight difference. First of all, I have 150 pounds on the guy. And you got to take that into consideration. This gut was made to absorb alcohol. Now, I don't drink very often, but when I do, it's a severe binge drinking, which happens every other week. In the summer, I do a lot of drinking, and I take all, but it's just not going to happen. It could be hard alcohol, it could be whatever. It's just not going to happen. I try. I get buzzed. That kid's going to be, he's younger. He doesn't know how to handle it.
Wow. I can't wait. November 26th, Friday.
Oh, I get it. It's good.
It's going to be
great. Hearing me unedited.
You're edited?
It'll be great. Yeah, I tend to say with everything that's on my mind.
Oh, okay. Oh boy.
That leaves it.
I could be in trouble for all I know.
Oh, no, not you, my friend. Good.
Just throw Newman hung up. Put me on hold so he hangs up. Just want to throw it out there again. November 26th, 3 weeks from tonight. At the Point and Still in Hackensack, New Jersey, we will all congregate for the first of what we hope will be many Blue Shirt Banner Radio viewing parties. And we're going to be joined by the great Ron Greshner and the great Nick Futiu and Chris Katsopoulos. They'll be there hanging out with us and signing autographs, sign whatever you guys want. And we'll be, we're going to do a little question and answer session with them maybe in between periods.
Yeah. And I heard it might be filmed, and then maybe a DVD of it being made that you could purchase later or something. I don't know.
I'm bringing my camcorder. I was going to film the. I was going to film the whole night.
Oh yeah, I know. He's filming just the question and answer thing.
Oh, okay.
Ricky's like the P.T. Barnum of the. I just show up. I'm one of the clowns. I just show up.
We're just the just
whatever
the
you want me
help.
To do. I'm just put me in front of a mic and that's it. I just like to sound my own voice.
I need to step away from the microphone for a second. Do you want to do a quick roll call here? Short chat room. I'll cue up your theme music. I need to go tend to the youngin for a second. Here it is. Okay, here we go.
Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
Gentlemen of the jury, it's me, the great man, Eddie the Mouth Guy, ready for the Blue Shirt Banner radio roll call on this Bosco post-game show. And what a show it's been. It's been highs, it's been lows, it's been pretty much mediocre. But no, it's actually been very good. And I have been convinced that this is a big Ranger victory. So let's get down to it. There's not too many people left. We had Adam from Chicago from before. He joined us the other night. We had Ava and we had Eva and Claude and Numi was here. He's still here. That Cutter TML, who's been very quiet lately, Jeff Diamond, has been as quiet as the Maple Leafs have been in the win column of late.
Wasn't there something he was supposed to do because they lost? Didn't you two have some kind of gentleman's...
Yeah, he was afraid to... Yes, he asked permission to that no, he didn't ask permission. I found out that he wasn't talking because that was his thing. He said that he would be quiet for an entire broadcast had the Rangers beaten Toronto, which they did. And then he didn't say anything, and then I gave him permission and said, like, basically, the bet's off, you can talk. So he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's probably on autopilot tonight. I haven't heard anything or received an instant message from Mr. Jeff Diamond. Anyway, Jeff Diamond, up there from up there in Kitchener, Ontario, Jeff Skinner, who I can't stop mentioning, was a Kitchener Ranger, which I didn't know that. The great Eddie Johnstone. You know Eddie Johnstone? I'm going to throw some names at you. You ready? Lance Nethery. Remember him? Lance Nethery. Do you remember? Let me think. Jocelyn Gouvernement. Do you remember him? Remember?
Jerry Gillis.
Jerry Gillis. J-E-R-E. Who spells Jerry like that? We should have known right away. Mike Backman?
Sure.
Yeah. So there you go. And then we have guests. Wow, I feel so mellow tonight. And then guest 4923. 4923, thanks, John Rosasco, for joining us. And guess what? Blow it out your ass. And Irish Puck 93. Now, Irish Puck contacted me the other day through Facebook. I don't want to mention any names, what his real name is, but his last name is Cronin. And I dub him Cronin the Barbarian. That's right. I don't know if you remember a Winnipeg tough guy named Sean Cronin who was wreaked. Did I say wrecked havoc before? I think somebody made fun of that. Well, anyway, Sean Cronin the Barbarian was a tough fighter. And then John Newman, yes, you were okay. I have to say, John, you did do good, and I love how you didn't want to talk about the one subject, but you kept riffing on it for 20 minutes. And then we have Sydney Ranger. I'm thinking that this person is from Sydney, Australia.
Yes, it is. That is the gentleman that tried to call in a few weeks ago. We're actually
From the... from the non, what do they call it? The non-cubicle...
You looked it up. Open something.
Open plan?
Open plan, that's it. Bing.
Open plan. Where are you, in the bathroom?
Me? No.
Oh, you got like an echo on you.
I don't know.
We got from the open plan. He may be working right now.
That's right, he probably is.
What was his name again?
Paul.
Oh, Paul. Paul, tell your boss you need a raise. Because you really do. Because you are maximizing your time by listening
that's
to the
right.
show and doing your job. That's called multitasking. And that deserves some positive reinforcement. And then, Wazili. Let me tell you, Wazili has been a long-time listener of this show as well as a contributor to RangerCrisis.com, which right now is going under some repairs. The computer had blown up, and this was a whole story. And I get the computer fixed, and they're like, do you have the reboot disk? And I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, you have to call Hewlett-Packard to get this reboot disk. Cost me another $20 to get them to send it from Florida. So now I gotta wait for this reboot disk before I can get this computer set up again. That's total nonsense. But well, I don't know how this I got onto this. But that's pretty much it here at the Bouchard Venerated Mouth roll call and the whole thing. It's kind of petering out very slowly here. I'm sorry. But it's been
getting
a long
late.
Night.
It's getting late.
It's been a long night.
You know, we should mention that we have Paulie here, who is listening in Sydney, Australia. And earlier in the chat room, we had Jonathan from Australia. You show me another hockey show. You show me any sports talk show that's got two people listening from Australia. How great is that? I mean, really.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. And we know our buddy Chris over in the UK will be dialing us up on iTunes first thing in the morning. We are worldwide.
Yes. I am definitely, and you know, I'm still getting over the fact that over in, your wife overheard those people talking about us on the train in Arizona.
I know,
that
right?
That was amazing.
It's pretty cool. And, you know, I was telling you the other night, we just throw it out on the air, but, Blog Talk Radio has come up with, I was telling you about this, has come up with some new reports that you can go and look at and see the show numbers and see how people are listening and where they're listening from and how they're finding us. And I think we're actually getting a lot more listeners than we were originally led to believe. And that's great. We love it. I think we're reaching a lot more people than we originally thought because...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the numbers that I'm looking at, that I was looking at the other night, these new reports that they have, are definitely a lot bigger than the original ones. So hopefully they're right. I would tend to believe these new numbers that I'm looking at just because, you know, with all the buzz that we're kind of getting, you know, people talking about us, my wife's hearing people talking on Phoenix Light Rail about us. We've got listeners in Australia, and we've got listeners in the UK, and we've got the guy from what was his name? I can't remember, Adam over in Egypt that's listening to us while he's serving in the military. So I just think we're reaching a lot more people than we originally thought, which is, you know, obviously terrific. We love it. We appreciate each and every one of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, and I think the turnout for this thing really shows, you know, and I don't know about you, but when we get phone calls from people who first time call in, I always get super jazzed. I always like, wow, somebody calling out, you know, you know, why are they calling up? And there's, wow, that's somebody who's, you know, decided to call us up after listening for a while, and I just, it really does make me happy. I'm sure it does the same thing for you too as well.
Absolutely, because you know if you'd have told me when we first started this, you know, and by the way, we didn't even talk about that. We just passed our year anniversary together on the air just a couple weeks ago. So happy anniversary.
I knew there was a reason I was wearing this negligee.
John Newman is telling me in the chat room that Dancing Larry is going to be at the Point and Still on the 26th.
Wow. Big news. Big news.
Wow.
That is prestige worldwide.
Wow. So, but anyway, yeah, so like I said a minute ago, we've been together doing this a year, and if you'd have told me a year ago when we started this that people from Australia would be reaching out to us and England, and, I mean, it's incredible.
Well, I frankly thought that we would. And I'm not saying that. I just figured. What the hell is going on out there?
You don't want to know.
Okay. I just figured that I had known that, you know, I'd always gotten pretty good ratings with Ranger Crisis when I was doing that show, and I knew you guys were doing pretty well. I was like, once we combine forces, this thing's going to be unstoppable because, you know, it has been. And it's been a lot of, it's been great. And I don't want to go with the whole, you know, hey, let's stroke our egos here, but it really has been great. And it's never been boring. Because if it was boring, I would quit it in a second. But, and we do 2 hours commercial-free. I mean, it's hard to do 2 hours talking about anything commercial-free.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, we have fun with it, not even talking the hockey. And that's due mostly to the people that are in the chat room who are freaking, I wish they had their own shows. You know, I'd love to listen to the Claude and Eva show. That'd be a good show.
I'd like to hear what goes on in that house, right?
Oh, God. That place has got to be a nut house.
Claude walking around all day just doing different voices. And
yeah. I already seen him. I've seen him live in person. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Stories I could tell.
I am really looking forward to meeting them, along with Newman and Nick and everybody else that's going to be there. It's going to be a great night, and to finally get to shake everybody's hand and thank them personally. And I can't think of a better way to do it than, you know, what we're doing and getting everybody together and being able to have these great former players there with us. And we'll get to do a live show. And I'm sincerely hoping that my dad is going to be there, and my brother's supposed to be there. It'll just be fun, you know, a little get to show them what we've been able to, you know, put together this great group of people. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be highlight of a great trip.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get my dad to go. I think everybody's kind of interested. What does my dad bring to the table as far as the DNA goes? I mean, we know that he contributed, I guess, with his fluids. But is he anything like Edward? And the answer is an unequivocal no. He is nothing like me, which I think might be a good thing. I might be the milkman's son. I'm not sure, but my dad is a very nice guy, but he is not a guy who likes the spotlight. And he's got a good, pretty good sense of humor, but nothing that compares to my epic sense of humor.
Now, see, I think if you get to meet my dad, you'll definitely see a lot of me, or him and me, or me and him, however you want to put that. But yeah, you'll definitely see that. So
now that we got that,
we got left here just about 7 minutes to go. I'm also looking forward to getting our wives getting together. They can talk about Chicago and how much they miss the food. That's the first thing Chicago people talk about when they get together.
Yeah, they always compare the hot dogs.
Vienna beans.
Oh, that's from Chicago,
though. Now, poor Sydney Ranger has finally been able to tune in live to the show, and all he's heard is us.
Why don't we have the last? I'm going to dictate what we do. I want to go around the league here, and I'm looking at the scores and. I'm not just I think I give this advice to full range of fans. Pay attention if you have the time, because some of us don't have the time. But I have the time, trust me, folks. Follow what's going on in the rest of the league. You got Detroit and Edmonton. Edmonton's got that young team. I really like Tom Rennie coached. They're going to be up and down, but I just can't see how they're not going to be a force to come if everything goes right. And now the Penguins have been struggling. They're losing 3-0 to Anaheim. I don't get it. I don't what the Penguins. Fleury hasn't been playing all that well for them. They've had Brett Johnson in net. Malkin's been stinking the joint up. I think he's only got 3 goals. You had Washington actually. Washington came back and beat Boston.
Yeah, blew a 3-0 lead in that game. And we're going to see Edmonton next week.
That should be good to see Bjarvi, Eberle, Taylor Hall. I like Dustin Penner. I know that he was kind of a bust when he first came to the league. But he's turned out to be a pretty decent player. They're a fast team, although I think Nikolai Habibulin is pretty much he's definitely on the downside of his career. And then, like I mentioned at the opening, Buffalo, they're now at 3-9-2. And I kind of want Lindy Ruff to succeed, because I had interviewed James Patrick over this offseason, and I really rooting for James, and he's the assistant coach up there. And they're having problems putting the puck to the net over there. Guys like Vanek haven't been able to turn around from last year. Tyler Myers is still playing a lot of minutes over there, and they lost to Linder and I think another defenseman in the offseason, and I think that's where their problems have developed. And then Florida, break up the Panthers. What's the name of that Panther blog on SB Nation?
Litter Box Cats.
Yeah, I always liked that. The Litter Box Cats.
Donnie Rivera. He's a huge Hartford Whaler guy.
Wow. Is he
like
be
Mr. Hartford Whaler? I don't know. I doubt it. I haven't talked to him about that. I should get his thoughts on that whole fit. The game against Edmonton next Sunday, that's a matinee at the Garden, 12:30 in the afternoon. That's a good idea. Play a 12:30 game on a Sunday during football season. That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's a ratings winner.
I don't know if they're up against the Jets or the Giants, but the way both of those teams are playing, I don't think it really matters. That's kind of, why would you play a Sunday afternoon game of football season? That doesn't make
unless
sense.
Unless one of the teams is playing on Monday night and the other one's playing at 4.
I don't know. I'm actually pulling up the NFL schedule as we speak. Let's see. Giants.
But that's other scores. Montreal, like I said, beats Buffalo 3-2. Montreal 8-4-1. That's pretty good. That's you know, for all Stan Fischler was bashing the fact that they let Clark go, Carey Price has played fairly decent for them. And 8-4-1, and then you got Florida beat Carolina, the Panthers, like I said, 7-4. Marty Reisner. Seems to have been around for at least 10-15 years.
Yeah.
Former Saints Blue got a goal. And what's the deal with the Ranger matinee game?
The Jets Jets play at 1 o'clock that day in Cleveland. They'll be visiting their old head coach there if he hasn't been fired by then. And then the Giants play at 4:15 at the Meadowlands against the Dallas Cowboys.
So,
pretty boneheaded idea, whether it was the NHL or the Rangers. I don't know who decides that, but kind of dumb in my opinion. But at least I won't miss the game. At least I'll get to watch it before the Giants come on.
Yes.
Hold on a second. Sorry.
I mean, what is this?
Close that. Anyway. Sorry, my daughter's.
No problem. Keeping
an eye on her.
Listen, I appreciate you joining me. And
no, I appreciate you getting ready to doing this on short notice.
You. No problem. It's been a good show. My wife is probably asleep now. And now I can do all my stuff, my nefarious stuff that I do when she's asleep. Which is nothing since my computer is down. That's the scoopo, ladies and gentlemen. We almost out of time because I have no more filler left in me.
We have 2 minutes left. I would say we'll cue up the Ranger goal song, say our goodnights now. We'll play the goal song out, and that'll finish us off. How about that?
Sounds goodly, my fellow.
All right. So to everybody that's listening, we appreciate it. We appreciate you guys. As always, coming in on short notice, all we got to do is throw it up there that we're going to have a show, and you guys are always here. We appreciate it. And, all right, here's the Rangers goal song, and we will catch you guys Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.